fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple, Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. We got a lot of Dolphins content coming up to their season opener against Jacksonville. So check out Pulse of Fins Nation, the Inside Leverage Show, and more. Also check out the great, not just the great sponsors, but the great Discord channel of the Five Reasons Sports Network and Five on the Floor. We call it Off the Floor. You can find the link right here in the description. Communicate with Heat fans and us all day long. Get away from Twitter and all the political talk. Just talk hoop. You can do that with us. Again, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. Also check out Prize Picks. That's the official fantasy sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Use the code FIVE, F-I-V-E. It is legal again in the state of Florida, and they got a great new promo. Instead of a match, which was a 1-to-1 match, they now have a 10-to-1 match. You put down $5 on your first play, they give you 50 more to play going forward. No catch. Check it out. PrizePicks.com. Download from the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store, or again, go to PrizePicks.com. Use the code 5. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And pat we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. And we got Sean Rochester. You can follow him at S Rochester NBA. And now welcoming back to the program. Actually, I think you've been on two of our different types of podcasts. You can find him at Matt Issa 15. Did I do that right? I did that wrong.
I think you do your best.
That is very validating. Although I don't really think it's validating, actually, the way that you put it. Anyway, Matt Issa. Better? Issa. There we go. I actually practiced this before the show and asked you and screwed it up in the last 15 seconds as everybody else here rolls around.
You asked for two options and you just made up a third option when we started the show.
It's August, okay? I mean, just to understand, Matt, like what we're trying to do here. We are accustomed to the Miami Heat. And by the way, he's at Forbes and he just wrote a piece on Tyler Hero and spoke to Tyler, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So that's the floor plan. But it's August and we're used to the Heat going deep into the playoffs, okay? I mean, you know, negative net rating in the regular season, they're going to the finals, okay? This past year, that didn't happen. So we have been creating content since what? Like May 5th? Something along those lines? Like we're doing the top 6 million players in Miami Heat history. Greg Sylvander and I are counting those down by 4 just to get to the start of the regular season. Actually, we will be reprising that or getting back into it. We've gone now from 1 to 12. So some controversy about some of our picks. A lot of people did not like Dragic over Haslam, 9 versus 10. So we'll probably discuss that on the next one, but we're going to do 13 through 16, our next episode, and that'll come up here pretty soon. But today we're going to talk about Tyler, giving you a bit of a break, from it. And, first thing, let's start, cause I know, Tyler's been promoting a bunch of stuff off the court and everything, but he hasn't really been available to the media this off season, at least to none of us. So how did this come about?
Well, not to sound like braggadocious or anything, but I was like, he actually, not him, his agents reached out to me and asked if I would do this story for them. Obviously, he was trying to promote this collaboration he's got going with Green Gobbler. He's got some, like, they call him clogs, but we all know them as Crocs. He's got Crocs, right? They call him clogs for, like, copyright reasons. But so he wanted to do that. And then obviously, you know, that's when the listeners behind the scenes, when you as a writer have to kind of leverage that, like, hey, I'll do this for you, but we've also got to talk some hoops, talk about the upcoming season, talk about Bam Adebayo's Team USA stuff and all that good stuff. So I tried to, you know, politician my way into some good stuff. And I like to think I got a couple nice little insights from.
Let's go through some of the specifics of it. And then I'll have Sean and Brady jump in on it. Title of the story is How Tyler Herro is Preparing for the 24-25 NBA Season. And I'll give you a couple of quotes here. First thing on the season itself, I'm really excited for the season. Obviously, there are a lot of teams in the East that think they have externally improved, but I think we've improved internally. It may look a little different, but we have young guys that we hope will continue to get better. Bam Adebayo and I are young guys who are starting to become full-fledged veterans in this league. Terry Rozier is healthy now and ready to compete. Then you have Jimmy Butler, who's extra motivated after not being able to play in the playoffs last season. Brady's video went viral on that. Right, he's extra motivated to, I guess, torture children while overseas, because that's what it looks like he was doing. So this comment, I mean, this is a pretty... It's a pretty standard Tyler type statement, because he tends to look on the positive side of things. ESPN just came out with its rankings of the East and has the Heat eighth. And when we've talked about the Heat, you know, we've basically said that the way that the East looks is that the teams at the top are either stayed the same or got a little better. But the teams at the bottom are going to be awful. And so there's this kind of middle ground in the East where the Heat will fall, and it's sort of a very small middle class, I think. Like, you've got Boston, then you've got Philadelphia and New York, which made improvements. You've got Cleveland, which kept Mitchell, didn't really lose anybody of significance, I guess Okoro. And then you've got Milwaukee, which didn't live up to expectations last year, but still and has some older players as supporting players, but still has their big two, provided that they're healthy, and maybe they're more connected this year than they were last year. Orlando, which should be better just because they've gotten a taste of the playoffs, but also because they added KCP, which is the kind of player that they needed. It's hard for us to, and then you have, again, awful at the bottom, which is like, you know, Detroit, Charlotte, who am I missing, guys? Brooklyn, right?
Wizards.
Like
Washington.
Right, like four just awful teams. And then Toronto, which is kind of trending that direction. So you got five. And then you got Chicago and Atlanta, which will always be in the 9-10 play-in game. So it feels like there's this, like, this is floor, Matt, like, under the Heat. Like, they can't drop that far, and they don't intend to. But we're having a hard time seeing which teams in the East they can pick off. So I think when that are above them. So I think when Tyler makes a comment like that, I do think a lot of people roll their eyes because they're kind of like, okay, we're banking on internal improvement again, where Philadelphia got Paul George, the Knicks, whether or not you think they gave up too much or not, got Mikal Bridges and getting Randle back healthy. I mean, do you buy it?
Yes. Me and Brady were talking about this prior to the show. And, you know, at a glance, right, the Tyler Herro quotes, it sounds like he's just being a good company man, right? You know, saying what needs to be said. Oh, people are sleeping on us, et cetera, like we're going to improve internally. And to be honest, for me personally, my personal philosophy, I think the NBA, with how competitive it is nowadays, it's very hard to just bank on continuity and hope that's enough to help you improve the next season or maintain where you were. We saw that with the Denver Nuggets. They were kind of banking on continuity, and they ended up losing two rounds earlier than they did the year before. But with the Heat, it's weird. So back to my conversation with Brady before the show, we were talking about it, and he was talking about how deep they are this season. And I made the point that I think last season's team, roster-wise, forget the health, was more talented than the team they had that made the finals 2 years ago. Has it been a year ago, whatever. And so we didn't get to see what that team would ultimately be in the playoffs, but I think they're deeper. They added some more size in Jaime Jaquez. We didn't get to see Josh Richardson in the playoffs. I still think he has value he brings to the table. They drafted Pelé Larsen. They drafted Khalil Ware. Haywood Highsmith continues to improve as a spacer, which is huge given the defensive value he gives. I know Jimmy Butler's a year older, but Bam continues to improve as a player. He had the Olympic. We saw what happened with Dwayne Wade after he played in the Olympics with Kobe Bryant. Maybe Bam Adebayo has a similar kind of maturation. I still think this team's got the juice to be the scary Cinderella Heat team that we know them as. So I don't think like Tyler's just completely kind of blowing smoke and being a good company man.
So speaking of the internal improvement, with the Heat. There's kind of this idea that they need internal improvement from Tyler, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, they need kind of a jump from him if he's going to kind of be one of the main players on this team. And you talked to him about you asked him about it, and he talked about efficiency. Like, mm-hmm. he kind of needs to make that jump. And if you look at even the last couple of years with Miami, he's been around like that. He's pretty consistent with his own efficiency, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. he's hovering around 44% pretty much every year. So I'm just wondering where you think that could go. And do you believe him? Like, do you think that's the number one thing from him that makes the biggest jump, or is there other things? Because I made the point that I think free throws, he's talked about it a lot in the past as well. He thinks if he gets the line more, is it makes things easier on him and his points per game goes up. But it doesn't seem that easy. You can't just get to the line more. Like, there's the officiating has to cut into it. There's being more physical. There's driving more. So I'm just curious from your opinion, do you think efficiency would be the biggest jump, and what does that look like?
Yeah. So for me, in my head, the way I parse out these players, and maybe I'm taking mental shortcuts that I shouldn't take, I'm being overly simplistic, but I kind of group Tyler Hero in that, like, Jordan Poole, Anthony Simons, once upon a time, Tyrese Maxey, and that player archetype. I'm sure you guys have heard it a bunch, right? Where it's like, when you get them on that rookie scale contract, immensely valuable. But when you have to pay him the second time, they become a huge burden on your salary cap sheet, right? And the way to fix that is to level up the way Tyrese Maxey did, right? And so how does Tyrese Maxey do that? He's hyper efficient. Some of it Tyler Hero can't channel because Tyrese Maxey's just a better athlete. He's got a longer wingspan. So defensively, I don't think Tyler Hero could ever get there, even with how hard he tries on that end of the court. But I think the big thing, and he talked about it, is getting to the rim more. He's not a great rim finisher. He doesn't get a lot of free throws because he's not a great rim finisher, so he's not getting fouled near the rim. I think adding strength, he talked about it, adding strength, being able to absorb contact better, have better body control will be huge. And the cool thing about Tyler, he's not a player who relies heavily on like a first step or insane speed, verticality. So adding strength, it'll make him slower. Obviously, that's the trade-off you make when you add size, but it's okay for Tyler Hero because he relies so much on guile and footwork. So it's not going to kill his mid-range or three-point shooting.
When you talked about the training, you mentioned that him and Bam living close to each other and training together. You know, the relationship right now with the Heat and Jimmy Butler, and maybe that's only less than a year left. How does that relationship, you think, moving forward with Bam being more like similar ages, how do you think that going forward could affect how the Heat go forward long term?
I love Bam. I love Bam as a building block. I think, you guys have seen it firsthand multiple times. Incredible playoff player, thanks to his defensive versatility, his, you know, incredible mid-range shooting. He's built like an ox when he barrels down the lane and pick and rolls. So I love Bam. I think put him in Penn. He's the future of this team. He's going to take you guys to the next like 5, 7, 8 years, whatever. With Tyler, if he's going to be the second banana in that, like, it's, again, I think he's going to have to take a leap where he's getting closer to that Tyrese Maxey level. And I know him and Bam have good synergy. They work on their two-man game a lot, but that's just kind of how I see it.
Yeah, and I want to read another quote here. Is that because the other issue is, well, first thing, there's where Tyler can physically go, right? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it. There are some limitations there. We've made the case on Five on the Floor, which the fans don't want to hear, that Tyler has improved every year. He's a better player than he was in the bubble, statistically, mm-hmm. aesthetically, all kinds of different ways. He's a better player. He reads the game better. He has better counters than he had before. You know, defensively, I think his off the ball work has improved. He's never going to be a stout individual defender. We know that. But I think he's become passable in a lot of those situations where he's not hunted quite as much. And they'll find other ways to kind of hide him there. But the other issue is just become availability. And I think that as we talk about what Riley's concerned about, because it came up in his end of year presser, was guys being on the floor. And that relates to Jimmy, but of course it also relates to Tyler. And I think there's different factors in play for the two of them. Some of it with Jimmy is maintenance. Some of it is a couple games he just doesn't feel like playing. Tyler, it just seems to be, and I didn't say this, Pat said it. He said fragile. And that's, again, if he's going to get to a certain level, he's going to be one of their top three, let alone top two going forward down the road. Like, he has to play consistently. And he was healthy for the playoffs. He was one of the few one of the guys who was, but he wasn't for the playoffs two of the two previous postseasons. His quote here was, "We haven't been healthy yet, but we feel like when we do get healthy, we have a very deep team, a team that is deep enough to make a run in the East and ultimately win the NBA title." So, Matt, we've debated this a lot on Five on the Floor. Like, this counting on health thing for the Heat, like, you're like, I don't know how many of this. So this is going to be an eye roll from Heat fans, because it's going to be like, well, when we get healthy, but you guys are never healthy. Like, so, like, how do we even talk about something that we haven't seen? If they're healthy, like, how far, and let's say Tyler's healthy, and let's say he's not traded, and let's say Jimmy is motivated, okay, because he's in a contract year and he plays more often. Maybe he gets 65 to 70 games out of him, which to me would be fine, okay? Like, what is the upside here? Like, as we talk about the conference.
So this team, they are like the Western Conference version of the Memphis Grizzlies to me in so many ways, where it's like the Grizzlies have this really deep team. Like, I love their 10-man lineup they can trot out. I think it's as good as anybody in the West. The big problem is injuries, and then for the Grizzlies, more so than the Heat, off-court issues. But like, if you look at the teams, parallels are very similar. Like, you know, John Moran, Jimmy Butler are both kind of on murky waters with their respective organizations, but we've seen both of them take over a playoff series. Bam and Jaren Jackson are like these futuristic big men who can do all these things that traditional big men can't. Desmond Bane and Tyler Hero are both like hybrid on-ball, off-ball scorers who can do some creating. Obviously very good shooters. Like, if you keep going down the list, both teams have like a bunch of talented two-way wings and forwards that they can lean on. But so back to the original question, what do I think the ceiling of this is? I mean, when they are healthy, and when you have, the thing is, in the playoffs, when you have two guys who are, you know, playing at a top 20 level, like, think about the Lakers 2 years ago, right? You have Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and then they just had a bunch of dudes that fit into a bunch of different situations that you can lean on in different environments, different ecosystems. That makes you dangerous. And for the Heat, Bam and Jimmy, we've seen it countless times now. They're battle-tested, built for playoff action, right? And if they're healthy, that's two top 20, 22, whatever you rank Bam in the league, players in the league, right? And then now they have all these different pitches they can go to. You have Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero, who are kind of insurance of each other because of their redundancies and how much they overlap skill set-wise. But you have both of them you can lean to if you need more offense. If you need more size and defense, you have Josh Richardson. Now you have Khloe Ware, who's like kind of a stretch five and can do all that. You have Pelle Larsen, Haywood Highsmith, like all these different pieces you can turn to in a playoff series. So if they are healthy, if they have the full rotation, full itinerary, a cavalcade, whatever you want to call it, of guys to pick from, and you have that genius sitting at the front seat of the bench, calling all the shots, and Eric Spoelstra, like, they can hang with any team in the East and ultimately any team in the league, like in a playoff series. Like, I would trust them to give any team in the NBA a tough time in a playoff series. What does that mean? Like, are they a second round team, third round team? I'm not entirely sure, but they're not going down without a fight if they're healthy.
All right, we'll get into more of this. I want to get more into the statistics that you got into here with some of, again, you mentioned the finishing and the 4th percentile and all that kind of stuff. But I want to talk to you specifically about on and off ball stuff, because that's a big Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor in the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials.
To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Conversation with us. And also, I'm curious if you thought about asking a certain question that we ask him all the time that he doesn't really like to answer anymore. All right, but we do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. You get $20 to play. This is legal in the state of Florida as well. What makes this different from the other books? There's no VIG. That means that you're not just giving the money to the house for nothing. Also, because it's a social betting marketplace, you can find the lines that you want. You go in the marketplace and see what's out there. You can do it on all the different sports. Of course, NFL is coming up here very soon. We're like less than 2 weeks away, so you're going to want to get on there. Legal in 45 states. And again, catch all of Sean's shows related to that. We have a big betting platform on the Five Reasons Sports Network. So use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. Get $20 to play at BetterEdge.com. All right, let me just ask Matt. Before the interview, he didn't say, don't ask me if I want to start or not.
I did not even think to go there with that, just because I was just happy to do the interview. I try to avoid, you know, especially when it's a one-on-one, maybe in a press conference setting, I try to avoid pissing people off, just try to have like an honest conversation. And really, I saw, who was it the other day? I was on Twitter. I think it might have been Dave Carmichael at Sacktown Sports. He was talking about this with Malik Monk, very similar type of player to Tyler Hero, who just got a nice little payday. But he was saying like, it really doesn't matter how you start. It's more about finishing games. And as like, you know, somebody who's played basketball and plays in leagues and stuff now, not well, never well. But like I kind of agree with that, right? I'd rather finish a game than start it if I had to pick one or the other.
But I don't know that he feels that way necessarily, right? I mean, so but it leads into this question, and then I'm going to let these guys jump in on this, because one of the questions has been, like, how does he fit with Terry Rozier? And you said it in your last answer. You're talking about redundancies, right? Like, so that can be framed as a positive, like one can do what the other can't do if one is off the floor, but the problem becomes when they're both on the floor. Do you view that as a viable starting and finishing backcourt in the modern NBA with the lack of size?
I don't at all. I think that's going to be a big point of contention this year. I think the big thing is, and you guys might have more insight on this, how healthy is Terry Rozier? Neck injury is no joke. So we're assuming health here. If we're assuming health, you got to take it as like, to me, I take it as a positive in terms of like, I was just thinking about the Spurs because I'm working on something, a piece about them. But like, I was thinking about how they can have 48 minutes of Chris Paul and Trey Jones on the floor. So they'll always have like good point guard play for Victor Wembanyama. With the Heat, they can always have 48 minutes of Terry Rozier or Tyler Hero having a really nice combo guard who can play on and off the ball. But at the end of the day, unless they're like really just playing well, both of them are scoring like crazy, and it's just untenable to move them off the court, it's going to be very hard, very, very hard to close games with both of them. And I think it's just going to come down to who's playing better on offense, who's feeling it more, who's trying a little bit harder on defense, because I don't see any true difference between them as defenders, to be honest.
One more about the last line in your article with his last quote, where he said he was kind of talking about the sponsorship. He said, I feel like Green Gobbler isn't the typical partnership with an NBA player, but I'm not the typical NBA player. Why do you think he's not a typical NBA player? Like, why is he so polarizing to everybody? Like, it just in general, he's just such a polarizing player.
I mean, he is fascinating. Like, it's a really interesting career. He reminds me a lot of Julius Randle, in that last season, right, he gets hurt and then he go to the NBA finals without him, right? Same thing happened with Randle in terms of the Knicks kind of being a better team when he goes down. But it's polarizing because it wasn't that long ago that he came to the league as a rookie. Charles Barkley saying he's going to be an all-star next season, and he's a big reason why the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals in the bubble. So it's like, is he good for winning? Is he like, is it Ewing theory going on where they're better without him, whatever? By the way, I don't prescribe to the Ewing theory. I don't think the Knicks were ever better without Patrick Ewing, but it's just what they call it.
No, I'm going to stop you because I'm going to Sean jump in on this because I know this, now you're in our wheelhouse. I agree with you on that, but I think, and I understand why Simmons came up with it. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, the Ewing theory is basically Patrick Ewing, the Knicks, of course. Brady will date. He was a Georgetown center before Alonzo Mourning. He was pretty good. Hoya paranoia, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's close to Sean's heart. But basically, like, he went out, and I believe he's talking about the 98-99 season, right? Which was the lockout shortened season where they played 50 games. He went out. The Knicks went 27-23 during that season, but Patrick got hurt towards the end of it, from what I recall. Mm-hmm. The Heat finished 33-17, ended up matching up in the first round, only 6 games apart. And of course, the Heat then lost to the Knicks in the first round, one of 3 times that they lost to the Knicks in the first round over a 4-year period. But the idea was Ewing got hurt, and then the Knicks kind of took off. But what people forget was, like, that group hadn't played together. That they had acquired Sprewell. They had Sprewell, Houston, and Camby. And that group hadn't played together that much. And then they kind of – so then they kind of took off as they developed chemistry without Patrick there, but they weren't better without Patrick. And it kind of – the Heat had a Ewing theory thing too, although it's not really phrased. I guess you could call it the Bosch theory, which was in – 15-16, where Chris, you know, went out with the blood clots again, and Spo moved Luol Deng to the 4, and that team took off too. That team was only 4 games over 500 big. But I'm generally with you that I don't agree with. Sean, do you subscribe to the Ewing theory?
No, I think you made it a great point. Like, the games in that season were so short that the gap between the 1 and the 8 was unusual that year. And I mean, we know the history of that rivalry anyway. So it was going to be competitive. It was going to go 7 games. You know, it was going to come down to a last shot, a weird bounce, a bad call, something like that. So, no, I don't subscribe to that.
You can really tell we're in August right now. Do you subscribe to the Ewing theory?
No, but you're right, though. With Tyler, there is an element of that, right? Like, because Gabe, look, they basically hiked Gabe and Max's minutes. And then I think we sort of over-evaluated, in particular Gabe's case, but maybe in a little bit of both, like how much that meant. Like, if they might have gotten there with Tyler anyway, we will never know. But I do think that that's kind of become his scarlet letter now, is that, okay, they got to the finals without you, so now they don't need you. I think he's polarizing for a few reasons. I'll just throw my theories out there, and I'll let Sean kind of jump in here and close with you, Matt. But, like, I think he's a white American player with some swag. Okay, that's always going to be polarizing. He put himself in the class of Luka and others because he tends to be sort of honest. And look, he said this to me last year. He said, I was talking to him. He was kind of joking. I don't know if it was because I said it or somebody else said it, but he was joking about his efficiency with me. Oh, he says, I'm not a chucker. Like, he says, it was after he had a pretty good game. But again, he was sort of joking with me about it in a slightly passive aggressive way, perhaps. But he said, I'm not a choker. And I said to him, well, do you ever think you could do 50, 40, 90? Because that's where he was last year at a certain point. Before he got hurt, he was not that far away from it. 50, 40, 90, of course, is 50% field goal percentage, 40% three-point percentage, 90% free throw percentage, which very few players have done. Okay, although Steve Nash nearly did it 15 times, but like very few players have actually done it. And he said, well, yeah, I'm a confident young player. With like a twinkle in his eye. I mean, he is. He's a confident guy who compared himself to Luka. And so for Heat fans, it's like, I mean, that's the level he put himself at. And then he got a contract commensurate with some of those other guys, not Luka, but with Anthony Simons and RJ Barrett and others in his time frame. And so I think to a certain degree, there's been a bullseye on his back that is not fair. And in a certain degree, he kind of seems to like it there. So I think it's a combination of both. I mean, Sean, I'll go to you and then you can go to Matt on this.
Well, what I was going to say is, you know, kind of combining those two discussions, like Matt hinted to this earlier, the words in his article that he heard come out of Tyler's mouth, there's not lacking confidence. And for him to get to where he's at, he's had to have that confidence. That's not unique amongst guys in that level. You know, when you take that and you apply the Ewing theory that we're talking about, how do you see this playing out? Like, if we're having this conversation in March, do you think that confidence is well-rooted and maybe received by the Heat, that he's someone that's going to stick around and be part of this rotation and core? Or do you think, you know, obviously you're using an opinion here and predicting, but do you see maybe that confidence is self-rooted and it's not going to be part of the Miami picture?
I couldn't tell you what the Heat are thinking. Obviously, we thought, all of us this time last year thought he was a goner, right? We thought he was going to be in a Portland Trail Blazers uniform. But I would say that it's the latter. I think I've realized, honestly, from just being around this game, covering this game, having the fortune of doing all that, that to make it, you need to be just egregiously confident, right? I remember the Heat magical postseason, right? That postseason, the Lakers are playing Golden State. I think it was game three. And Lonnie Walker, who hadn't played the entire postseason, he comes in, he has a really great game, helps the Lakers win that game, and ultimately pushes them to win the series against the Warriors. But the following game, they're like interviewing him beforehand, right? And Lonnie Walker has like a quote, and it's something like, I'm in love with my game. I'm in love with my game. I think I'm the best. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, you know, this guy, a lot better of a basketball player than me. 100% without a doubt, better than all of us, right? Better than all of us combined. But I'm like, you were just warming the bench for the last 2 months and you're in love with your game? Like imagine Tyler Hero, who he's not going to be warming the bench anytime soon. You know, maybe there's going to be some games where he doesn't close, but like, who could tell him anything, right? He's an NBA player. Of course, he's going to be super confident. Back to the polarity thing, just one thing I want to say just about this archetype in general, because I've always been super fascinated by it. I love combo guards. Like all of my favorite players are combo guards. Malik Monk, Jordan Poole, once upon a time, things went downhill for him. Anthony Simons. I love all those guys. I love CJ McCollum, right? But the problem with the archetype is, unless you level up like Tyrese Maxey, once you get your second contract, you're always going to be overpaid. And when you're overpaid, you become a market inefficiency. And when you're a market inefficiency, it gives your team a strategic disadvantage. And then they have to hit on other deals, right? And they've done that with like Haywood Highsmith and stuff. But that's kind of why these players are always polarizing, because they're getting paid a little bit more than they're worth.
Well, and that's an interesting point. And then I'll let Brady jump in here. But what it's an interesting point about that is that they have hit on these other deals, but then a lot of these guys they've developed, they've had to let walk. Mm-hmm. And so they have to do it again now, right? Like Keshawn Johnson has to exceed, you know, his two-way status, and they probably will do it again with some of the guys they've added. Or Larson, and you mentioned him several times as a second-round pick. If he contributes this year, then he's doing more for them than his contract would suggest. But you know, they had to let Strus walk. They, you know, Gabe, they didn't end up keeping because he felt insulted by their original offer. Okay, even though, you know, they felt it was fair, and obviously he didn't even play to what he got this year from the Lakers. And then Caleb, they tried to pay him, but his agent didn't want to take the money essentially and screwed the whole thing up. So that's the thing, is that you have to hit on some of these other guys to make it worth it. But it comes back to this question then. So if this is an archetype that, again, there's a lot of these players, and once they hit the second contract, most of them don't prove to be worth it because they have some flaw, either inefficiency offensively, or maybe they're just not the greatest defenders, or maybe they're really better suited as sixth men, which again is a sore subject down here. Maybe they're more of a Jamal Crawford type ultimately, or a Lou Williams type, than they are a Tyrese Maxey type, right? Then the question becomes what they're worth. Right? Because it's one thing what you're worth to the Heat, and is Tyler worth $29 million when the cap's going to go up and the tax line's going to go up and all that, and that's going to look a little bit better. But is he worth a first round pick on the open market? Because if he's not, it doesn't seem to me to make a whole lot of sense to move him just to shuffle parts right now, which is kind of what it felt like would happen this offseason. Like, what would you evaluate Tyler Hero's open market value to? Not financially, but like for a team that needed a scorer in the backcourt. Is he worth a protected first round pick right now to you and filler?
Is this a Brady question or a Matt question?
This is a Matt question, but I'll let Brady jump in on this too, because he's going to have to deal with Tyler on this afterwards when he says what he's worth. Go ahead. You both could jump in on this. Is he worth a protected first round? Because I heard there were offers like that out there the previous offseason. I didn't hear that necessarily this offseason.
So I will mention the monetary value just because I think it matters here, right? But I have a little formula I use for like calculating player value, and it's not great, but it works for me and how I like to do things. But so we're going to throw last season out the window, right? Because he's injured. It's not fair to judge last season. But the year before, if he played that way, like next season, he'd be worth about $20 million, right? And he's making about 30 next year. And so that's, so you're getting a negative value contract for a flawed starting caliber player. I say flawed because he is flawed defensively. You have to work around that. If you're getting a first round pick, it's top 14 protected, maybe top 20 protected. Cause you have to think the team, unless that team that you're trading with is a team that's also getting off some bad money. So if they're getting off bad money and you trade Tyler Herro, then maybe you get like a top 14 protected first round pick. Maybe it's top 10 protected, but I don't think he's like straight up worth a first round pick. No.
I also just think it depends on the team because like there's certain situations that don't have time to wait. So like they'll be willing to make that extra push. Like let's just say Austin Reeves wasn't on the Lakers. Like, and the Lakers needed to make one last push with this team. You try to cash in a first round pick for Tyler Herro to just try to improve your scoring. Like that's the type of move where I think it could be possible. But I look around the league right now and there just feels like there's so much parity that there's not a lot of teams that are cashing in. Like it just feels like a lot of teams are just going youthful. So it's tough. I think that's kind of probably why he got his Heat jersey tattooed on him, because he feels like he's locked in here. Like this is coming for a few more years. But yeah, I'll ask one more question to you because we talked about a little bit of basketball stuff and you mentioned like the combo guards that you like. Do you think, because he's a guy that's really good in the mid range, like he's such a good mid range pull up guy, and the Heat have kind of dialed it back a little bit because the league is kind of pushing back on a ton of mid range shots. Like they just don't want a ton of volume there. And I'm just curious, when you look at that type of archetype, when there are like really high level mid-range shooters, do you think he should be dialed back on that end of the floor, area of the floor, and just try to move spot up threes, make those threes, pull up threes? Or you think teams should just start to just lean into like guy's strengths? Like if he's really that great at pull up shooting in the mid-range, like do you think they should start just leaning in the player's direction?
Yeah, I mean, every coach I've ever had the privilege of talking to is always going to say KYOP, know your personnel, right? KYP, not KYOP. I don't know where the O would be. But yeah, I mean, I'm always going to be a proponent of that. If the smartest, I remember I talked to Mike D'Antoni a couple years ago, and he's like, he was consulting for the Pelicans at the time. And he's like, Brandon Ingram's a great mid-range shooter. Why would I have him taking threes? Mm-hmm. Now, to the same token, you don't want to compile, like you want to have balance on your teams, right? You don't want to compile a team of complete, just all mid-range bucket getters, right? So I think Herro should lean into his strengths, but I think maybe the reason why the Heat are asking him not to is because Jimmy Butler is also more of a mid-range shooter. But Jimmy Butler doesn't have, unless it's for the fate of the universe. If it's for the fate of the universe, Jimmy Butler is the best three-point shooter on the planet. But in a regular situation, he doesn't have the option to really shoot a high volume of threes. So maybe that's why they're like, Tyler, we need you to be the spacer so we can have balance. But I think on a different roster with more space, like if Tyler Herro played on the Indiana Pacers, he can get as many middies as he wants because he got Tyrese Halliburton. And you have, Nesmith's a good shooter now, all that there. But that's, Miles Turner was another one.
That's the thing about, and we talk about fit, and so much of this, it's kind of availability, contract, defense, fit. Those are the four things that get talked about with Tyler the most, other than the stuff that doesn't matter, right? Like, which is more personality driven and all of that kind of stuff. But those are really the four components. And when it comes to fit, part of the problem with the fit is that Jimmy and Bam occupy a lot of the same spaces. And then you're putting Tyler into some of those similar spaces. And then you got guy like Josh Richardson, who's basically saying last year, I don't really know where to go offensively. It took him a while because he would like to occupy some of those same spaces. And that again has been part of the roster construction issue with the Heat, at least offensively. All right, rapid fire. You guys got to answer this just top of your head. No equivocation, no nothing. Okay, so I'll go to Brady first. Year ago at this time, Tyler Herro is where? I don't mean philosophically. I mean, who is he playing for? Like, what Tyler Herro is where? A year ago at this time? Because you talked about teams he might fit for. Is it Miami? Is it here? Where is it?
I'm not sure I'm understanding your question here. Like, what do you mean a year? Like, is anybody else like a year?
No, I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
You get it. Matt, answer the question. You get it.
I kind of already answered it. Portland Trailblazers. But I think it'd be hilarious if instead of trading for Nurkic, the Portland Trailblazers traded for the Phoenix Suns traded for Tyler Herro. Could you imagine how just funky that team would be? If it was Tyler Hero, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker.
Wait, is Cronin still running the Blazers when he goes there? I thought they didn't want any part of Tyler. That wasn't that the whole thing?
That's what I'm saying. So I was thinking, I'm thinking that it's like a three-team deal.
Okay.
Type deal. Because I like a year ago, everyone thought the Heat were going to get Damian Lillard. I'm sure you guys used to spend a couple segments.
Only 58, only 58 consecutive podcasts. Other than that, we didn't address it. All right, so you're saying Phoenix? Are you saying Portland? What are you saying? We need to clip these.
Portland, my serious answer. Phoenix is my funny Matt answer.
Okay, Sean.
I still don't know if I understand the question, but I'm going to go with Portland because I don't.
Wait, you think he's getting traded? Wait, I must have framed this. Who is he going to be with the Heat, or is he going to be with some other team? And if he's going to be with some other team, what team is that?
I think what happened was you said a year ago.
Oh, I said yes. A year ago?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's so different.
Yeah, this is
so you mean a year from, so you're talking about a year from now, where is Tyler Hero?
I just need to mispronounce your name again, Matt. Well, this will perfectly bookend this podcast. A year from now, I'm sorry. I apologize.
The way I interpret that.
Just giving Alex more to edit. That's it. Okay. A year from now, okay. Matt, go ahead.
A year from now, he's probably still with Miami.
Brady?
It's Miami. Everybody says he's not a good defender, but he's defended off every single trade in the last 5 years. Like every superstar that's come his way, he's locked down. So like, it's Miami. He's not adding another jersey tattoo.
Sean?
Clippers. 1 year after opening their arena, you need a superstar in there to bring the fans out. Shining in LA.
It's a big word right there. It's a big word for Tyler.
Green Gobbler is the primary sponsor of the Clippers' new arena. It's going to be great.
I'm going to say Utah.
Okay.
I'm going to say Utah. Danny Ainge has been waiting to make a trade for, 4 years? And it's going to end up – they've always liked him, actually. Ainge has always liked him. I'm going to say Utah 1, Heat 2, Nets 3. That's where I'm at with that. All right. So apologize. I bungled this entire episode. Matt did not. Again, you can follow him at Matt Issa.
Issa
15. I remember the 15 part on Twitter. Brady Hawk 305, S Rochester NBA. We'll get back to our top 40 Heat players in history. Mario Chalmers is going to make an appearance here in the next week, guys. Be prepared for that. Have a good one, everyone.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now. Save